better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Pretty excited because around 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to have the voice of the Arkansas Razorback football and basketball team, Chuck Barrett, joining us here on the show.
We'll talk about the Thanksgiving miracle. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a nickname for Chuck?
Chuck.
Okay. Because I've, you know, when growing up in my youth, listening to sports talk radio, my father always called him Up Chuck.
Up Chuck.
So I'm not going to call him that, though. I'm not going to call him that. But no, it's always cool to talk with Chuck Barrett because I know that you have a few years on me and you've worked with Chuck for a long time. In fact, when he did Sports Wrap, it was on stations that you were handling, obviously.
Right, one of our affiliates here, ESPN 96.3, was one of the big stations he was on.
Yeah. So for me to be able to, you know, just listen to Chuck now and then have him on the show, it's kind of just crazy because I remember back in the good old days, Tommy, dialing in #1030 on my Alltel mobile to call into Chuck Barrett.
On your bag phone.
On the bag phone, way back when. Those were the good times. So
Chuck will be here at 8. We'll talk about the football game Friday. I want to talk about the Thanksgiving miracle.
You saw they stole your term.
I saw that. Someone tweeted me that the university has ripped me off and no compensation, no credit, no nothing.
Yeah. Can you believe that? I told you it was going to happen. You needed to go down and copyright it.
Well, some of them letters they send us.
Cease and desist.
The cease and desist, this use of our trademarked items.
Yeah.
Not to send them that letter.
Well, what was funny, too, is that, and I can't take credit for this because this is just something that goes viral, but when I put together the highlight video of where Mason Jones's bank shot goes in to the theme of the Titanic song.
I noticed you put that out on your Twitter trying to. It was a pretty cheap and low rent attempt to even up with me yesterday on Twitter.
I don't think I got it though.
Yeah,
I don't think I got to that point.
You did all this work on company time and then don't even put it on the company account. Unbelievable.
I figured you wouldn't want that on the company account.
Unbelievable.
You'd want that on the company account?
What do you think, Matt?
That's exactly what
he
I was thinking.
He spent all this time.
I did not retweet that.
He complains about other people that work here doing the same thing, and he does.
He spent an hour and a half
on company time.
That he's like, why is the Titanic song playing for the last hour?
It just was driving him crazy yesterday.
But we do have proof
that Tommy Kraft got a tweet that got, it's now 700 and something likes.
97 retweets, 720 likes.
He was running around
likes.
The office complaining yesterday. Can you believe this? This is nonsense.
I figured that would be something that you would hate to have on the social media account. That was something dumb.
So why did you spend 2 hours at work working on it?
Because it was funny.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it was funny enough for your Twitter, but not to hit that line. Yeah.
No.
Matt, should we just take it out of his vacation time?
I think so, yeah. Deduct him 2 hours for the time he spent working on that yesterday.
That was not the way I expected the conversation to go this morning.
Put that on the Twitter poll right now.
Good grief. My point was, got attacked over here. My point was is that the University of Arkansas then put out a video of the Titanic music.
They should cease and desist.
Yeah, my goodness. So they were stealing all of our morning.
They stole yours too?
Yes, they put it out like an hour later.
We're getting paid nothing for these great, great creative ideas down here.
Yeah, seriously. This is coming out of our our noggins over here where we're sitting down and we're trying to be creative.
Got this think tank going on down here.
University of Arkansas.
Ripping us off.
Yeah, over there just saying, no, we're gonna take your stuff and not give you credit.
Yeah.
At least tag us in the tweet or something.
Larceny is the best form of flattery. Isn't that what they say?
I don't think
that's exactly how it goes.
It sounds good enough, at least. Oh, hey, look, we got Miss Lisa back in. Miss Lisa, we just wanted you to go ahead and finish your point because you know I had something else.
Well, I'm going to finish it real quick.
All right.
I'm sorry the string on my peach can broke. But anyway, what I'm saying is we better get a coach. We better get a coach in here and that has time to get out and recruit. If we get a coach after signing day, we're going to lose all of our players to the portal. We're not going to have a team. So people need to wake up, get with a board member, and instead of worrying about turkey and dressing and what kind of cranberry sauce you want, we need to get the, I'm a nervous wreck. What are y'all hearing up there?
I'm
Hello?
Here.
Come on, Tommy. Got to be on the spot here.
I'm hearing that they are vetting candidates. I'm hearing Mike Leach is very much in the conversation, and I don't expect it to be any time this weekend or early next week. I think it's going to be towards the middle to end of next week at the earliest, and possibly after the championship games, depending on which candidate the conversation advances with. So
you're confident, or you're thinking that, well, I would be okay with Mike, you know, because he's wacky.
I'm not saying Mike Leach is going to be your football coach.
No,
I'm just saying,
I know.
I'm saying he's one of four or five candidates. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Well, all right, I'm getting off here, but I'm, you know, this got me fired up this morning, as you can tell.
Anyone that thinks a coach is going to be named like Saturday or Sunday, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, they know they got to get it right, and Steve Cox just lives down the road from me. Would you want to live down the road from me if you get this thing wrong?
No.
Be honest. You won't hurt my feelings.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
What a perfect way to end the call. That is awesome.
If that's not the most spirited Thanksgiving call right there. Yeah, right.
That's got to be in a promo somewhere coming up soon.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
right.
Like, if there was a Bah Humbug version for Thanksgiving, that was it. Good grief.
Clip that out. We've got to have that later in the show.
Yeah, we got to play that one back.
Go get that for us, Matty T.
All right. Let's see.
How do we go up from there?
I don't know, but we've had a lot of people texting in and calling in. Let's go. Let's keep it going. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Hey, guys, I just want to say I'm thankful that this football season is almost over.
Aren't we all?
You know, what I hear, I think that the coach is going to be one of three guys. I think it's going to be either Justin Fuente or Mike Leach or Mike Gundy, I'm hearing they've talked to him.
You know, Fuente's at Virginia Tech is an interesting name because it hasn't been – in fact, you may be the first to call in about Justin Fuente. He's been brought up in the fact of Mike Norvell, and people have, when talking about Norvell at Memphis, say, well, you know
– Fuente's what built
Fuente's
the program.
Fuente's the guy that built the program before he went to Virginia Tech. Of course, he's the head coach that upended Brett Bielema and put one of the first daggers in Bielema that harpooned him a year later. But – he's an interesting guy, and he's in the, you know, let's see, they play Friday night against Virginia, and they win that game. Then they play Clemson in the ACC championship game. I think I got that right.
Yeah.
So if that all happens, it would be another week. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If there's candidates, and he certainly well could be one of them, and I've heard his name mentioned a few more times just by people in passing, not anyone official, you know, there's a guy that – you're going to have to wait till after championship game to actually talk to the candidate. And they're not going to hire a coach without actually talking to the candidate. That's the only way this thing works.
You know, the only negative I see with him is I saw in his background that he had been at Murray State. So, you know what that goes back to.
The Murray State Mafia of Houston Nutt and the crew. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I may not want to hire him now if that's the case.
Yeah, but there's people that want to hire Houston Nutt, so, you know.
Yeah, huh, good grief. We all know those people are crazy, but.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
Hey, appreciate it, Skip, and have a happy Thanksgiving, man, as always.
Fuentes is a name that hadn't heard a lot about him being the candidate or being a candidate in the fans' minds until the last 24, 36 hours.
What would you think?
Oh, you could do a whole lot worse than him. I just don't think he's. I think he's a long shot, not because Arkansas wouldn't offer him. I just think he's in a situation. His team's about to win a division, perhaps, if they beat Virginia and play for the ACC title. So,
yeah. I mean, if they hire him, I'm with you. They could do a lot worse. But that's the thing, and I've said this since the beginning. There's really not a realistic hire that they're going to make that's going to just make all the fan base happy. Because there's going to be people be like, Justin Fuente, he sucks.
Here's the other thing. My boss is the biggest Virginia Tech fan you're ever going to meet. Lives in Richmond.
You have a boss?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I thought you were just...
That was
other than my wife.
Yeah, I thought it
other
stopped
than
here.
My wife. Well, I'd like to think it does sometimes, but no. That may strain the relationship. We go and, you know, and hire their coach. So I may be out.
You may be out of a job just because of that. You may get hit with it. Hey, again, I think they could do a lot worse than Justin Fuente if they decided to go that route. That's for sure.
JT in Hot Springs says Fuente is from Tulsa.
Yeah.
I have not vetted his background, so I'm going to assume that's correct. So
I've heard that too, so we'll go off of what JT's saying.
Hey, for the fourth consecutive year, Crabtree RV in Alma has been voted the best place to buy an RV. And to show your appreciation and show our appreciation, they're starting their Christmas Cash Day sale early now. It's through New Year's Eve. Sales tax paid or $1,000 in Christmas cash on the purchase of any RV from Crabtree, and they'll still give you the most for your trade. It's all at Crabtree RV in Alma, where your family's dreams come true.
We have a bunch of text messages coming in here through the Cherokee Casino hotline. Since it is a What's Your Turkey Wednesday, which again, we make it to where you can be thankful about something if you want to be a kinder, gentler caller or texter, or you can be like Miss Lisa, who can call in and just say, yeah, right, to the Thanksgiving when she's wished a happy Thanksgiving. There is perfect. So a few people have been texting in. This comes from the 479. He says he is thankful that the Chad Morris era is over. Something to be thankful for. Continuing on, 870 says, I'm thankful for the football season will be over on Friday. That may be the other thing that people are going to be most thankful for.
Can I give one?
That you're thankful for?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am thankful, we hadn't got into this yet, that Stephen F. Austin beat the Duke Blue Devils last
at
night.
At home.
Tell you what I'm not thankful for on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. It wasn't on real TV. I got home in time, was going to watch overtime. And the ACC network had some nonsense on it. Oh, it's on ACC Extra.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Whatever that means.
Well, I think that's kind of like the SEC Network Plus. Yeah. It's on ACC the old Extra.
Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin going so over there.
Yeah. Love that. Lumberjacks.
Man.
Bringing that wood.
What is it about number one
game non-conference winning streak?
Yeah, I've lost since 2000.
Love it.
Like, but what is it about number one teams losing at home to bad teams, or not bad teams, but
Evansville beats Kentucky.
Yeah,
this one may be bigger.
I think it might be a bigger upset. Yeah, because like
this
you just
is Duke,
150 straight games.
These are the Dukies.
That's a ton of games. So
they've
not
had any off years other than when Coach K had back surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they really hadn't had any off years. You know,
it's just. I don't know. That was crazy.
For that.
I love college basketball. And this is November. It's not even March.
I know. It's awesome.
No, I love it too. Chad in Northwest Arts says he is beefing or turkeying, however you want to call it.
Turkeying.
He's turkeying with people that call dressing stuffing.
They are two different things, but they are very similar.
Because the stuffing's what you put in the turkey, right?
Right. That's why it's called stuffing. You stuff the turkey with it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is that the only difference? One's cooked in the turkey?
I think so. Yeah.
Right. It's like the whole like,
here's the problem.
You
can only get so much stuffing in the bird, and that's not enough to feed the crew. So you got to put the rest in a pan and make, I guess, what's then dressing.
Yeah. Okay.
But the stuffing is better than dressing because it cooks inside the turkey, and then it absorbs all that fat and that grease and that juice and everything from the turkey. And then it is sin on a fork. It is awesome.
But you have to bake it, right?
Well, you depend on how you cook your. I smoked the turkey. I don't think you could fry it.
I
don't think you could do that.
That would be awesome if you could.
Or you roast it in the oven.
Yeah.
You bake it in the oven.
Mm. You know, the first year I ever tried.
But that stuff that comes out of the bird, guys, is.
It's amazing.
The first time I ever tried cooking a turkey by myself, I put it in the oven. It, you know, cooked to the right temperature. Mm. I didn't realize that there's a bag inside of it that they put all the guts and everything in.
So giblet gravy,
I cooked a delicious turkey with a bag of guts and giblets or whatever
it's
called.
You get that neck bone out of there, too.
As long as you didn't do it the Clark Griswold way or, you know,
just
from Christmas
vacation. Just stick a fork in it and
it just explodes right there. Yeah, exactly. NCAA Hog. I should call him from Yellville. Tommy, this is, holy crap. He says he's thankful for his first child that's going to be born in May, which is awesome.
Outstanding.
But he's trying to decide whether or not to name it Tommy or John.
Well, depends on what, if you want the kid to go to school for 8 years or not. I mean, John did go to school for 7.5 years and he has no.
He doesn't have a PhD.
Yeah.
Yet.
So, I mean.
Yet. Yeah.
What are your master's degrees in?
Partying.
He did graduate. I'll give my boy credit for it. He did graduate Itapakega.
Yeah.
So, top of the class.
Had one of them ropes around. It wasn't actually a rope.
Hey, my name is on that sidewalk, dadgummit, so that's all I care about. My name is on that sidewalk.
And I'm still paying for it.
Exactly. Going to be paying for it for the rest of my life. Well, let me tell you this, NCAA Hog. If you're trying to decide it between Tommy and John, here's the thing. Tommy, your real name's Thomas.
Thomas, yes.
Your legal name. Yeah. Mine is not Jonathan. It's just John. So if you want to name your child after Tommy, you're going to have to start with Thomas and then go to Tommy.
Yeah.
But if you're going to name it John, it's just going to be John. Yeah. I don't know who to name it after. If you want to have
it's a big responsibility.
If you want to have a lot of money, if you want your child to have a lot of money, name him Tommy. And if you want him to be named after me, be the life of the party if you want your kid to be
you
want
to have more fun. If you want him to have more fun, go with John.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Money or fun, just kind of balance it out there.
Just whatever.
Yeah, exactly. See how that goes. 903 text
in. I'm trying to figure out how to get in the middle still. Here at 40, nearly 44 years old.
Yeah. Just call Tommy John. Tommy.
It's a surgery.
Yeah, the Tommy John surgery. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Just do both
things.
That's
right. I didn't even think about that. We're the show for elbow surgery right here. Tommy John.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
We're about the surgery thing. 903 texted in. He says, thankful for Dave Van Horn and now Eric Musselman, because without them, Arkansas would be irrelevant in the sports world. Ain't that the truth?
Well, that's not totally true. You got soccer and track.
Well, I guess from the national scale, ones. So,
I mean, but honestly, college baseball is not much of a sport on a national scale or national.
No, but it's definitely grown. It's definitely grown.
We like to think it is because we're good at it.
Yeah, yeah. We're always very intrigued and very important about the sports that Arkansas is good at.
You're just one good. I mean, that's why this hire is so important. That's why people like Lisa are so passionate.
Mm-hmm.
It's that important because we're one solid coaching hire away from getting this thing corrected. And it's kind of like Arkansas shooting the other night at Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Eventually, it was going to turn around. If that game had gone to a second overtime, I think Arkansas, everybody said, oh, you'd have lost on the road in two over. Nope, I think you'd have won it because how many more minutes is Arkansas going to go without making shots? It went 10. That wasn't going to last. Arkansas football has been in the crapper. I mean, and this ain't even the crapper. This is a port-a-john on a construction site that's been there a while. Mm-hmm. That's where Arkansas football's
never been cleaned.
It's bad. Bad, bad, bad. And this can't continue. Arkansas is a better program than this, better facilities. I know the recruiting grounds aren't the best in the country, but this place is too good for this to continue. Eventually, the averages and the odds turn around, but it's not going to happen until you hire a good coach.
Yep. Got to get the right guy in, and that's the most important thing. And that's what Hunter Yurchek's been dubbed with. So, again, and then.
But that's all you need is a good coach. That's right. This thing can turn around.
That's right. And I'm not just singling out Miss Lisa because there's a lot of people that are this way. But, folks, those of you who are like losing your hair over this, don't do anything until the hire's made. And all this stuff. I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. No one knows. Just relax. And then when the hire's made, then you can freak out if you don't like it.
What was the words Hunter Yurchek used in his email?
Patient.
No, about there's going to be a lot of misinformation.
Speculation.
And what misinformation is speculation.
Just chill. Yeah. Until the hire's made, there's no reason to freak out.
Everybody thinks they know somebody who knows someone in a position of knowledge on this. Mm-hmm. I think there's two people that really know what's going on. Truly know. And that's Hunter Yurchek, John Fagan, to a degree, Chancellor Steinmetz, as he gets updates from Hunter Yurchek.
Mm.
I don't think they're informed. I think they intentionally don't inform all the board members and all these people because they need to keep this. A search of this nature has to be kept confidential.
It does.
If it's not, you have no credibility.
No. You have to. You have to. But, again, until it happens, until it gets hot, until somebody signs on the dotted line, it's all no reason to freak out yet.
Hey, are you out shopping for a TV on Black Friday? There's going to be a lot of big deals on 4K TVs, smart TVs, all that stuff. That's great. But it doesn't mean a thing if you don't have great satellite service to hook it up to. And that's where our friends at World of Wireless can help you. The new Hopper system and all the boxes that come along with are and can be 4K ready. Meaning, hey, I just went out and bought this new 4K TV this coming Friday. Found my online deal at Sam's or Best Buy or Walmart or wherever you're going to buy it. Doesn't matter. Brad's Home Entertainment, Mountain Home. Wherever you're going to buy it, you need good satellite service. World of Wireless has that. 877-305-DISH with 4K ready models right now ready to go. Because what good is a 4K TV to you if your television provider's box, whether it's a cable box, satellite box, whatever, isn't 4K ready?
You learned that the hard way.
I learned that the hard way a couple of months ago. Had to have everything redone because, I got this great 4K TV, but I can't receive any 4K programming. Start out, get a two-year price guarantee, have 4K-ready systems in your home, the latest technology with World of Wireless. 877-305-DISH for WOW, World of Wireless.
Got Josh and Harrison texting in. He says his turkey, since again it's What's Your Turkey Wednesday, his turkey is people that park at gas pumps at Harps. and wherever I go, and then shopping for 20 minutes. Taking up the precious gas pump that someone, or maybe short on time, might need, I get going in and paying for gas, but when you come out carrying a bag of groceries, not cool, man. Not
he's
cool.
He's texting from where?
Harrison.
Harrison, okay. I don't, there's not a Harps where I live where there is gas pumps in front of Harps, but there is one in Mountain Home, I know.
Is there really not one here in Fort Smith that has Harps gas pumps?
Mm-mm.
The Harps.
Oh. Yeah, I know it's Harps. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that. Oh. I guess never really paid
the Harp rolls, man. They're great.
Yeah. And well, if you go in for those, then maybe those can be acceptable. If you're
Ken Hatfield likes that fried chicken, it's good.
Yeah. Hey, listen, they got
good fried chicken.
I don't know if you call it a bakery or just a cafeteria or whatever's in Harps. It's good. Yeah. It's good. So,
deli. It's a deli.
Deli. There you go. This one comes from BP. He says it is super important, Tommy, to be thankful for your family. Never take them for granted.
Nope.
This might be the last day you have with your son or daughter,
totally
your mother
it.
Or wife. I'm also thankful to know that there are better days around the corner for the Razorback football program, and they have nowhere to go but up. Basketball is already on the way.
Is anyone not thankful for? I get it. I'm thankful for my family. Cherish every day.
Do you think Miss Lisa's thankful for her family?
She said some of them get on her last nerve, I think is how she put it.
Well, it's family. They have to get on your last nerve.
Why, they're family.
I mean, I know your wife's listening, Tommy. I'm sure she never gets on your nerves ever at all. So
she didn't know 651 happens twice a day.
Maybe. I didn't say that.
She's dreaming of what she's going to buy on Amazon.
I am going to laugh so hard if she starts texting you right now because she woke. I know you.
Oh, wait a minute. Here,
I'm about to say, you don't care until all of a sudden Tommy goes missing as soon as we hit the commercial break here. But, again, thankful for your family. That's all great. It's all wonderful. And we are thankful.
I'm just
for
trying
our
to make good radio down here.
Yeah.
500 texts this morning that we're thankful for our families.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've got us all covered. We got a blanket thankful for our families already.
That's
out
right.
There.
It's already been covered. This comes from the 479. Happy for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's catching on, man.
Yeah, the U of A stole it.
Yeah.
So.
No credit. No acknowledgement.
Hey, at least you know they're listening. Listening to the show. So, or at least checking out social media. But yeah, that was great.
How do you think it would have sounded in Chuck's call? Maybe we can get him to recreate that when he joins us at 8. And weave that in.
I wonder, because listen, I've always wondered about this when it comes to like play-by-play men. Mm-hmm. If they have great calls, can they actually like recreate it?
Well, we're going to see if we can coax him into doing that on the phone today. Or I'm going to ask. They beg.
I was about to say, I don't know. That'd be tough for me to, like, if I was a play-by-play man, be like, okay, that excitement you had in that moment, do it again.
Yeah.
Like, no. You got to have the moment in front of you. It's just one of those things. So, anyways.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So what's your Turkey Wednesday, which, again, you can use for something to be thankful for, or you can just use it as a typical what's your beef Wednesday and have something to complain about, whatever it is. We will make it happen for you, and we can make sure that we let your voice be heard. But I want to play this because I'll start it off. It's not necessarily, we don't need a bed or anything, but this is something that needs to stop, and it needs to stop right now. I'm sick of this, Tommy. Listen to Kirk Herbstreit last night on the college football playoff show. Final, whatever you want to call it. This is what he had to say.
Football team that they beat. Meanwhile, LSU's been, not play. They played Ole Miss and Arkansas last week.
To stop this. It has to stop.
This is
Arkansas thing.
They're doing it on purpose.
But why?
I don't know the answer to that.
Is it because Arkansas football is bad? Is that what it is?
It ought to be grounds for a tail whooping, though.
That's what I said last night. I was like, if I ever get elected to office, which God help us if I did.
No,
you
could not be any worse.
I would sign into a bill into law, an amendment, if you will, that anybody that says Arkansas knowingly can be slapped and no repercussions happen.
Yeah, well, that'd be getting off light.
I just don't understand. Why? It's 2019. The state of Arkansas has been established since what? Mid-1800s?
It's just a sign of disrespect. 1831, I believe.
So why would... I just don't understand what...
1836.
Herbstreit's not stupid. He's been to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to know Arkansas.
He knows better.
But why is he doing it?
Just to be a turd.
I just don't understand it. Like, if there was ever a turkey or beef or whatever you want to call it, that's one that I'm just never going to be able to just get down with. And I'll never understand it. And it's so annoying. And, you know, Dre Greenlaw had it done. But, of course, the thing was is that, you know, it was more of a bet that he lost. But either way, it's just, it gets me, man.
June 15th, 1836.
You were close.
Arkansas became the 25th state of the United States.
Yeah. And you know what state they were established before?
Kansas. It didn't come along until like 30 years later.
So, if anything, Kansas is pronouncing it stupid. They should be Kansas. And we should be Arkansas because that's what we are. So, get the name right. Please. All of you out there. Just so annoying. So annoying. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Billy Joe's on the phone. What's going on, Billy Joe?
Yeah, I'm calling the hotline. I'm just saying, after we beat Texas A&M in Georgia, there's no shadow of a doubt. There's no shadow of a doubt that we'll be number one in the college football playoffs.
LSU fan.
And second of all, I don't know how they can say that Ohio State's schedule is more stronger than ours when they ain't played probably no ranked teams. I'm gonna get off the phone and just let y'all take it from there.
No, you can't argue LSU and who they played. You confused me there.
For I was wondering, I was like, which team are you talking about? It wasn't going to be Arkansas.
I'm saying we. I'm like, Arkansas beat who?
Okay, LSU fan. Well, let me tell you this, Billy Joe. I completely and totally agree with you. The fact that Ohio State jumped LSU is nonsense. It's nonsensical. Like, what did LSU do or Ohio State do that warranted that change? I don't see anything at all.
And you wonder why you have games that are 40 or 50 or 60-point blowouts at times, it's this crap right here. You know, LSU wins convincingly, could have done anything they wanted to Arkansas. They won 56-20, and you dropped them? It's just nonsense. I'm believing more and more each week this committee does what it needs to do for TV purposes.
Has to.
And follow me on this. I think they've moved Ohio's they left LSU and Bama short of number one before they played, so that when the winners, it just helps them down the road. They're like a chess player. They're trying to move two or three moves down the road. And then they also move things around that don't matter, because really, does it matter if you're one or two at this point? At this point, it does not. But they do that because, Ohio State's coming up, and who are they playing this week? Who's on their schedule? What big game's coming up for Ohio State?
Michigan.
Yeah. So they want the number one team in the country in that game because it helps TV rankings. I believe there's some of that stuff going on. Maybe that's just my tinfoil hat on, but they do these things because, we'll put 2 versus 3 now because the winner can be one. Then you make the winner one. Well, Ohio State's going to play Michigan. Let's make them number one. You know, it's just a little bit reckless, I think, some of the things that go on, because I'm with you. Billy Joe, you're right. It makes no sense. None. With the teams that LSU has played and beaten this year, that they would get dropped after a 56-20 victory. Tell me what wonderful thing Ohio State did that should catapult them past LSU. And I hate LSU. I hope we gave them the mumps when we were there. But they're the number, they're the best football team in America.
Yeah. And I've always
felt like, I hate saying that.
And I've always felt like in rankings, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I always felt like in rankings, if you're number one, you stay number one until you lose. Like, I have never understood how you can drop a team from number one to number two. If they were good enough last week when they won, they should be good enough this week when they won again.
Yeah,
I've never understood that either.
I don't either.
But see, this goes back to the whole thing. I know we could open up a whole can of worms talking about the college football playoff, but I hate how it's up to people. It's up to individuals, humans. The human element I want out as much as possible. And then, you know, say what you want about the BCS.
They got it right.
But they got it right. And well, why couldn't you have used the BCS?
Could have, because it didn't give the elite, selected elite few power. And that's what the NCAA and Bill Hancock and this BCS mafia hated, was that the power was in the hands of voters that worked at newspapers and media outlets, that they had no power over the situation. This was all about power. So they take it in. They said, well, you know, the NCAA selection committee in basketball has all the power. Well, really, they got about half the power because the power resides with being a conference champion. Yes. There is no automatic qualifier to get you into the college football playoff. So we'll form a committee and put the elite chosen few on there. And it started out that way. I think this committee gets fatigued and tired. Can you imagine having to get on a plane and go to Grapevine, Texas, which is just outside of Dallas, every week to do this? You think Ken Hatfield's having any fun doing this?
No.
Frank Beamer? Some of the other people in this, you know, having to sit in with the room with some people I'm convinced don't know anything about football. They're on there for diversity reasons. They're on there for political reasons. And you got a few football people like Frank Beamer and Ken Hatfield who are on there that know, I don't know, football. You know, it's just crazy. The thing is with the BCS, if you had the Harris poll, which had like 700 voters or something, it was a crazy number.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the AP, which had 64. And the coaches poll, which had 30 some odd. One guy's crazy ballot didn't have enough weight to mess the whole thing up. Now you get one guy that goes rogue in there, and then he's got the ability to influence those around him, and who knows what happens. I don't think the committee's got it egregiously wrong to this point, and they've never come out with the final ranking being wrong. I don't think in an agree, you could argue, well, should they be two or three? It does affect the matchups sometimes, but if you're three or two, it doesn't matter. You're playing each other. It's whether you're one or four or five that really matter. And really been a team at five, you'd say, boy, they should have been in there. They really got hosed, you know?
The first year it happened, could have made the argument. Remember the whole Baylor TCU thing?
Yeah,
but I'm not saying that for sure they deserved it, but I'm just saying
I'm not a big,
I want automatic qualifiers.
Well, the only way to do that is to expand. And yeah, I'm not a big expansionist.
Expansionist.
Yeah, I'm not.
Beautiful.
Because I do think four is enough to really determine the true champion. But if you're going to go with automatic qualifiers, then you got to go to eight. And then the committee's only function would be to choose three at large. Don't do anything with buys. If you want to have automatic qualifiers, fine. Power five conferences, get an automatic mm-hmm. berth with your conference champion. And then the committee could choose three more. I don't think we need eight, but I think that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's decided on the field. And the beauty of that is, then you don't have to worry about non-conference games being too hard. I need to schedule Western Carolina mm-hmm. or Samford in week nine or 10 of the season. Play who you want then.
And then that way.
And then you're still in. You could lose. You could go 0-4 in non-conference games and still be in the college football playoff. I'm okay with that. And some people think, well, having conference champions in there, it shouldn't. You know, because the Pac-12 has some pretty bad conference mm-hmm. champions. I get that. But if you have eight teams, that'll work itself out.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, though, is like switch it up with any other league and do it the way that college football does it. Imagine if the NFL just had a group of 10 people that decided who's going to play in the Super Bowl.
The Cowboys are what, 6-5 now or whatever?
Yeah, they're a little over 500. Yeah,
they're going to win the NFC East, it appears. And they're going to go to the playoffs. Are they one of the best teams in the NFL?
No.
But they win their division, so they're going to go to the playoffs.
In fact, of the eight divisions in NFL, probably only six of them have any teams that actually could win the mm-hmm. Super Bowl. Maybe five. But and that's what I'm saying. Like, imagine if it was that. Imagine in college basketball it was done that way to a smaller scale where we're just going to pick the eight. We're going to pick four teams to play in the Final Four.
Exactly. Now, there's 330-ish in Division I basketball teams. There's 130-ish. FBS or FBS. Yeah, FBS. They keep changing everything. FBS,
it used to be D1, D2.
Right. That's what I always want to default and say. There's only 130 in the football bowl division. And so the margin of errors are a little bit different. But imagine if basketball only had 16 teams that made the postseason.
It would suck.
Well, I mean, but the need to get it right. Because you couldn't do automatic qualifiers because there's like 32 or three conferences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have half the field for March Madness is decided by conference champions, tournament champions, you know. So imagine if they pare that thing down to 16 and the committee just chose the best 16 teams in their opinion. Oh, I mean, anarchy would ensue.
Oh, yeah.
But that's essentially what we're doing here.
But it's just, it gets frustrating to me because I like having consistency. Well, I like having to where it's understandable, where you don't have to hear what people say and why they decided to do it this way. I like it to where it's like, this is what you have to do in your season to get here. Yeah. This is what you have to do on the court, on the field, or whatever to get here. And there's reasons why no other sport does it this way. Yeah. Because it's a dumb, dumb system.
It's a Watch Your Turkey Wednesday brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith. 2020 GMC Terrains, the lowest price ever, just $21,999. Buick Encore is only $16,999. And the biggest discounts, the lowest price ever on 2019 GMC Sierra 4x4 SLTs, only $40,999. Happy Thanksgiving from Harry Robinson Buick GMC.
Also, I was checking out the whole, when I played the Kirk Herbstreit thing about Arkansas. This makes it even worse to me. So he explained it. He says, that is always for Les. Ha ha. Les Miles. I never heard it pronounced that way until he said it. So that's why I said it.
Well, stop it.
Yeah. And luckily, George Schroeder, who's a very well-renowned. And
from Little Rock.
And from Little Rock. He tweeted at him and said, Kirk, as a native Arkansan, I mean Arkansas-er, depending on which way you want to look at it. He says, I take issue with you doing it even with Les Miles. And then Kirk Herbstreit says, all right, I'm sorry. I was just kidding. So he did apologize, did explain it. But still, this has to stop. This has to stop.
Dre Greenlaw didn't make it any better the other night.
No, but again, he comes out and he says, well, that was just a lost bet.
Well,
okay. But
bet $1 million and don't do that.
Yeah. Bet your own money, your own hard-earned cash instead of having to come out and say Arkansas. So, right. But. I don't know. That's a what's your beef, what's your turkey Wednesday, whatever we're calling it today. That's definitely what I'm dealing with right now.
I'm with you.
I just can't deal with it. And then we were talking about college football playoff. I'm still beefing with that. And even though I don't like LSU either, but I think it's stupid that they're number two.
It is. But it really doesn't matter at this point. Matters in a week from now after the championship.
Well, because I said this too. I know it's about matchups. It doesn't, to me, it would matter more, and I hope that if they ever did expand to 8 teams, it would get this way. It probably won't because of the money. But I would hope that, yeah, you'd always want the higher seed because you'd get the home field advantage.
Well, I mean, if you're 2 or 3, it doesn't matter. And they're not going to go to home field because the bowl's
I know. I know. That's what I'm saying. I know it's not going to happen, but that would be.
And honestly, it shouldn't be. I mean, I understand. At this point, when you're down to 4 teams, it shouldn't be at home stadiums. It's too much on the line.
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
That would be great. I'm not saying it wouldn't be wonderful. I'm just saying there's too much on the line.
Yeah.
But the bowls have too much power and influence. Not going to happen. Yeah. Only it doesn't matter if you're 2 or 3. It only matters if you're 1 and not 2. You know, because you can play in 4 if you're 3 versus 4.
Yeah.
If you're 5, you're really mad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you're always going to be mad if you're that number 5 team. But you'll still go to a good bowl game. You'll still have a New Year's 6.
Still want to figure out a way that LSU, Georgia, and Bama all get in there. And then the rest of the world has to suck eggs.
That won't happen.
They won't. They don't have the guts.
No,
they don't have the guts to do
but
it.
But you know what? They get the viewers. They get the watches. Yeah. I think they would at least. By the way, Matty T just sent me this too, and I was going to bring this up as well. You know, Ed Orgeron apologized to Arkansas too.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to say it, and
everybody's apologizing.
Quit apologizing. Well, they feel bad for us.
Well, and of course, he used to coach at Arkansas, Ed Orgeron, way back when.
Way in the 70s.
He's the strength and conditioning coach, I believe, under Holtz, Ken Hatfield, maybe?
Holtz,
yeah. So, but he just wanted to apologize and said he didn't mean nothing by his comment, of course, that we had played the other day. I don't have it out there anymore. But when
Arkansas
hadn't
beat anybody in a while.
Yeah, so we weren't going to be celebrating that. He didn't mean to demean Arkansas. He apologized.
Well, this is what you get for being ugly about it. You get dropped to number 2. So,
yeah.
Got your comeuppance.
He says he loves Arkansas.
Hashtag karma. He's got family still in Northwest Arkansas.
Don't say hashtag karma.
Well, that's what he got.
Yeah, but you can't do that. Like, because that's what Jen Bielema did. And we saw how
things hadn't been right since.
Yeah. Is that when it all went bad?
When it all went wrong.
Like, forget the Bobby Petrino motorcycle wreck. Forget the John L. Smith smile. It went bad when Jen Bielema tweeted out hashtag karma when Wisconsin lost. Yep. And Arkansas then lost 9 straight games to end the season. I hate being an Arkansas fan sometimes. Like, it's like hearing these things.
If it's any worse, we'll have to start saying Arkansas so people won't know where we're at.
When that point happens, just shut it down.
Hey, I want to tell you about The Fence Man. This is a company you can trust when it comes to building your next fence. I can personally tell you because they built some gates for me. They're outstanding. Whether you want wrought iron, whether you need a wood privacy fence, vinyl fencing, commercial fencing projects, they can do anything. No job is too big or too small for The Fence Man. Even if you need minor fence repairs, Henry and his crew can take care of you. 479-782-3936. That's 479-782-3936, Northwest Arkansas, River Valley, up and down I-40, South Arkansas. Just give them a call. They'll come see you for a quick, no obligations quote. 479-782-3936. For The Fence Man, he ain't afraid of no work.
By the way, Mike in Murfreesboro texted into the Cherokee Casino Hotline saying he's thankful today that there's no mushrooms in his dressing. Thank you.
You're missing out.
No, like there.
I felt the same way.
So you're you anti-mushroom too? Like okay, mushrooms. Thank you. I have never understood.
But you don't
mushrooms.
Like them on anything, then do you?
No.
I try to keep all fungus off of my. Food.
Thank you.
You're missing out.
Yeah, I've never been a mushroom guy. I just never understood the taste of it. Like, what does it really add anything?
It absorbs the flavors around it. Is what some dork who eats mushrooms.
I guess. I don't know. I've just never been a mushroom guy.
Right.
My dad has always been mushrooms. Of course, it was more like mushrooms that were like had garlic. It was more garlic
not
taste.
Than
the mushroom.
I mean, you pair some good mushrooms with a great steak. That's
what he does.
Really?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Do you pick mushrooms off the pizza if they're on there?
Yes, absolutely. The only thing that I will maybe mushroom.
Missing out.
My dad makes gravy. I mean, I call it the au jus because it is so amazing. But he has mushrooms in it, and that maybe slips by the goalie a little bit, you know, when I'm eating my roast beef. Mm-hmm. And
it's hard to pick all those out.
Yeah, you can't pick it out there, but I've just never been the mushroom guy.
What are you, eight? Picking everything out of your food?
You can't sit there and tell me that you eat everything that comes on every single food
Do
ever.
I look like I eat everything that comes on every single food?
Except the vegetables, maybe. I'm sure there's something you pick off a pizza. If anchovies were on pizza, would you eat it?
Probably.
Oh, come on.
I'm just not that picky.
I don't like olives either.
Never been an olive fan either.
Y'all missing out on all the good stuff.
What are you talking about? Like we're over here just
olives
trying.
And mushrooms. That's the
we
best
have a higher standard, Tommy, for our food. We just don't eat anything.
Can't have a supreme pizza without mushrooms and olives.
Just because it grows on the ground, it doesn't mean I need to put it on my pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Olives grow on a tree.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. No, I didn't even know.
Oh, I guess that wasn't the Bible, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's right.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Both Razorback football and basketball have a lot of things going on for a lot of different reasons this week, obviously, with Arkansas beating Georgia Tech on the road, and the buzzer beater there by Mason Jones was huge, and the Razorback football team taking on Missouri in their final game of the season down in Little Rock. Lots of things going on, so I couldn't think of anybody better to welcome in and talk more about it than the voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks, Chuck Barrett. Chuck, appreciate you joining us. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And I wanted to start with the buzzer beater by Mason Jones there in Atlanta, because first off, I feel like I'm not a play-by-play man like you, but I feel like a buzzer beater as a play-by-play man, it might be one of the coolest or the best moments you can possibly have. You've had a few of those, but not a lot. But just take us through that whole play, that whole game, what it meant, the excitement of it all, because it was a great call for sure. Just take us through all that.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was a great play. It was a really competitive game, and I thought that was what made it exciting at the end. I'm going to tell you, when that shot went in, you could feel Arkansas jump up all the way to Atlanta. I mean, you could feel the whole state leap up. I mean, I think everybody jumped off their couch and out of their chairs or wherever they were. And it was just that kind of moment. And, you know, we needed that moment. I think we needed that moment as a fan base and needed that moment as a state. I thought it was a good night. And it was a really good game to watch. I think the people in our state sat down and watched the ball game together. And, you know, to win the game like that in that fashion, you know, Qualls had the dunk to beat Kentucky. Portis had the tip-in to beat Alabama. I don't recall a play where you've actually had a shot from the perimeter that's a buzzer beater to win the ball game like that. And it was a heck of a moment. It was a lot of fun.
Here's the biggest mystery in all of it. How did you keep Z quiet? How did Zimmerman not just start going crazy?
I don't know. That's the big mystery. I mean, we actually had a little role reversal there. I think I'm the one that got I'm the one that started jumping up and down, and he was just over there kind of with his head in his hands. But hey, Matt loves the Razorbacks, I'll tell you, and he's given them a lot over the years, and it means a lot to him how that game turns out. But yeah, that was that was a pretty funny deal.
Yeah, because when you're in that moment, you know, and you're calling the game and you don't know what's going to happen next, you can't script these moments. I mean, you just have to rely on your experience and what comes to mind to put the words together. And then, you know, it's a big moment. You can't mess it up because it's going to get replayed over and over and over. So, I mean, it's a pressure moment for you, too.
You know, I've found that. I don't know how it is for everybody else. I've found it's those pressure moments like that where, you know, just kind of instinct takes over and you do what you do. You don't think about it. I find my screw-ups, and there are plenty, but I find my screw-ups, they generally don't come in those moments, because at those moments, adrenaline takes over and your instinct takes over, and you may not be entirely certain what you're saying, but it's going to come out generally in a, you know, fairly decent fashion. But a lot of times it's during the mundane parts of the game where you end up making a mistake. But yeah, that's the one thing about it now, is that you know all those moments are going to be replayed within 5 minutes, maybe sooner than that. And so, you know, you have to understand if you mess it up, everybody's going to hear it for a long time.
Well, Chuck, I got to ask you about this, because Tommy's been tooting his own horn for the past 24 hours about this happy Thanksgiving deal that he put up on Twitter. And I thought it was
it's sweeping the stage.
I thought it was very lame dad old man joke, even though I did get a chuckle out of it. It was still pretty funny, but he has been all about it. And he says that's what would have made, as good as your call was, it would have made it that much better if you would have said happy Thanksgiving when the ball went in.
It's the only thing that could have improved it. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, clearly if I'd had an extra, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds to process all of it, happy Thanksgiving would have certainly come to mind. And I'm sure I would have, you know, throwing it out there. But
and then John would have thought it was a great idea. John would have thought that was the most wonderful thing ever.
That later. Yeah, that would have been, that would have made it perfect. You're right. That would have made it perfect.
See?
Yeah. Well, the judge has spoken. As I said, it would have been cool when Chuck says it, but when you say it, it's a little different. So that's
one of those things you have to say in the moment. And it is pretty cheesy, though. Yeah. Not that I'm afraid of a cheesy line,
no.
But it is pretty cheesy.
In fact, I embrace the cheesy moments.
Well, and it is great, too, Chuck, because not only was the game ending going in Arkansas' favor, and it was a lot of excitement that went along with it, but it's just amazing to me to see the excitement that Razorback fans are having for this team, because they're sitting at 6-0. There wasn't a whole lot of expectations this year for basketball because of losing Daniel Gafford. There's a lot of unknown. We have a new coach in Eric Musselman. But I'd be hard-pressed to find another time where Arkansas fans have felt this much more excited about the future, about Razorback basketball, just given these first six games, because this team is really growing on people and very quickly.
Well, I remember a time, and I know lots of people do too, when, you know, basketball ruled the roost around here, and it wasn't even close. And I'm not suggesting it should be that way, and I'm not suggesting it's going to be that way. But I'm telling you that this is a rabid basketball fan base. I told Eric Musselman this early on. I said, you win, they'll follow you anywhere. They'll go to the conference tournament. They'll go to regionals. They'll be everywhere you are. And I felt we had a good collection of fans in Atlanta on Monday night, and you could hear them. And I think everybody saw us after the ball game, you know, celebrating with them. Our fans needed this on Monday night. They need a good basketball season. I think they're going to have that. I don't know that it's going to be a season where they win a championship, but I think it's going to be a really entertaining season, and I think people can see that good things are coming. Eric Musselman's a ball coach now. I mean, he's a ball coach, and I think people see that, and I think they see the way his team plays for him. And I think that's what they have in mind for Razorback teams, regardless of the sport. We see it in baseball. But I think that that's what Razorback fans have in mind, is a team that competes and goes out and every once in a while gives you a great moment, and I thought that's what we had Monday night.
Well, before we move the football, move to a football conversation, I want to ask you about Eric Musselman, because the state's still getting to know him and understand what he's about, and I think showing that passion and pumping his fist and calling the Hogs with the crowd just endures the state even more to him. But you've spent time with him. You've been around him more than most at this point. Tell us what it's like. You've been around Dave Van Horn. You've been around, too many football coaches to name in the last 15 years.
A whole bunch of them.
We're going to talk about that, too. Tell us what Eric Musselman's like, because Dave Van Horn's the gold standard on campus when it comes to coaches, and rightfully so. But there seems to be, to me, a lot of parallels between these two guys and just the way they go about their business.
There are some parallels, I think. And I think there are parallels with all good coaches. The one thing that I noticed right off the bat is how the players have bought into what he's selling. I mean, they are in, and that's a credit to him. That's a credit to those young people. He's as emotional as he is during the ball game. He's really that cerebral when it comes to talking basketball, putting together game plans. This is an intelligent man. And this is a guy that I think, when you listen to him talk to his players, he talks to them like professional young men. But now there are moments, I'm sure, when he gets on them pretty good. But I think they respect his knowledge. I think when you look at the staff that he's put together, kids respect guys who can get them to the next level. That's what they all want. And, they've really bought into what he's talking about, and he's got their full attention. And, I see some guys out there right now that just the way they conduct themselves, on the floor, off the floor, you can tell he's made a big difference. And I do see a lot of parallels between he and Dave Van Horn. I think that, Dave's a guy that's consumed by baseball. Not in a bad way. It's just he's consumed by baseball, and so we're always playing. Eric Musselman's consumed by basketball. Not in a bad way. It's just that's what he's consumed by. And his players are a reflection of that now. And I've always believed when you got a team that starts repeating what the coach says and start saying things in the same way he says them, same voice pattern, voice inflection. I mean, that's when you got them. And I hear a lot of these kids doing that. I think he's the real deal. I just can't really describe how impressed I've been with him and the way that he commands the attention of those people. And I hope we keep him for a while because I think he's a really good one.
Chuck, let's shift gears over to the football side of things. Obviously, this season, last season, the season before, it's been a rough stretch for Razorback football. There's no question about it. And right now, there's a lot of mystery surrounding the football program and Hunter Yurcheck having to make the decision to fire Chad Morris, looking at who the next coach is going to be. We could sit here and talk teams all day long because we've had plenty of them thrown at us. But just to get your opinion on it, whoever the next head coach of Arkansas is, what are some of the things that they need to have? What are some of the things that they need to focus on to make sure that this program gets back on the right track?
Well, I think number one, you've got to make sure that the kids in your state don't leave. I watched KJ Hill play against Michigan. It's been well chronicled. Oklahoma's got a freshman starting defensive back from Fort Smith. I would like to see us refocus our efforts on what we're doing within our state. I think when you look at the great Razorback teams of the past, they've been dominated by in-state kids. And I'm not saying that there aren't great players in other places that you have to go get. You do. But before we start talking about getting back in East Texas, let's get back in Fort Smith Northside. Let's get back in North Little Rock High School. Let's get back in West Memphis. Let's get back in El Dorado. Let's get back to all those towns where kids have left and gone to other schools. Let's get those kids first before we start talking about, we got to get into East Texas. We got to do this. We got to do that. And yeah, those things are important, but they're not as important as your own backyard. And that's what we're not taking care of. And whoever they hire, they got to take care of that backyard. I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing they've got to do is coach toughness. This is a soft Razorback team, one of the softest of my lifetime. And you got to change that. Iron sharpens iron. And you've got to get a coach in here who I think coaches toughness, particularly on the lines of scrimmage. And that would be the third thing that I would say. You've got to have a coach that understands the importance of line of scrimmage play in our league. You're not going to fool very many people in our league. This idea that you're going to out-scheme somebody, you're not going to out-scheme a lot of people. Now, you may get a good matchup. You know, you may get a call to play and get a great matchup, and that's always what everybody's trying to do. But I'm not really concerned so much about, you know, scheme and philosophy and things of that nature. I want to see a gritty, tough, hard-nosed Razorback football team. The kind of team that we all grew up on. Not a team that wins every game, but a team that fights. A team that you know at the end of the afternoon is going to give you everything they got. Our state, our fan base, despite sometimes the reputation that it's gotten, you know, we're not demanding national championships. That's not the history of our football program. The history of our program is being a gritty, hard-nosed football team. And we've gotten away from that. And we've gotten away, I think, from having a roster full of young men who understand what it means to the people of our state. And, you know, Ken Atfield always said that, you know, a young man from Arkansas will give you twice as much as a man from somebody or a player from other places. And I think that's really important. I think we got to protect our own turf first before we start talking about let's go into another state and do this and do that. When a kid from Arkansas leaves and goes and plays big-time college football somewhere else, that hurts us more than it hurts a program like an Alabama or a Georgia when they have a player that's in-state leave. Hurts us because we don't have that many. We got to get them. And that'd be the first thing I'd do. That's a long answer to a short question, but that'd be the first thing I'd do is find somebody that understood how important it was in our state to build that wall and keep these guys playing at home.
Chuck, this is your 13th year to provide play-by-play for the football team. You've been on the network, what, 25 or so years? A long time.
25, yeah. It's my 25th year with the football network.
You know, you just think about what's happened since you became the play-by-play voice. And this is why this hire is so important, because when you took over the job in 07, Houston Nutt was coach. Then you go to Bobby, John L., Bielema, Chad, all in a 13-year span. The next coach you're going to sit down and interview before the pregame show will be the sixth coach in 14 years. And it's hard to build stability and hard to build success when you've had that many changes. That to me is why these next couple of weeks are so important for Arkansas, because you got to find a coach that you can stick and stay with a while, because you don't think about it, but in 13 years, five coaches, it's going to be 6-14 come next season. That's not a recipe for success, in my opinion, in most programs.
Well, the thing you got to realize is that, I mean, out of those six head coaches, that means you're going to have six recruiting classes that are just thrown together. You know, five new head coaches out of those six, five guys who come in brand new, you know, started right after Coach Nutt was let go or resigned, whatever you want to say. But ever since then, that's kind of the, you know, that's sort of the pattern that we've gotten into. I was thinking about, we had Jordan Silver on, and Jack Lindsay on, Barry's radio show last night. You know, Jordan Silver was recruited by Brett Bielema, signed by Brett Bielema, played for Brett Bielema, played for Chad Morris. Now he's playing for Barry Lunny, and now he's going to have another one before it's all said and done. The juniors on this team are going to play for their third head coach in their senior year. But beyond that, each time you change coaches, that first class is just thrown together. And given the fact that, you know, Chad Morris's first class, the new guy's first class, that means two of our last three classes will have just been thrown together at the last minute. And when you repeatedly change coaches, people, well, you know, it changes the scheme and the style. Forget that. What it does is it costs you a recruiting class. And when you look at our numbers, I mean, you're not going to find 85 guys on scholarship, number one, I don't think right now, because we can't fill that whole thing up. Because you can only sign so many at a time, and we've had so many guys leave. And that's what changing coaches does. It just wrecks your recruiting. And you throw what you can together, and now it's going to be about, you know, 10, 14 days. And it just kills you, and it puts you behind the eight ball right off the bat. And then you have the, you know, and it happens here, happens everywhere. When you have a new coach in, guys are going to leave. Some guys are going to be, you know, they're going to go want to go play somewhere else. And some guys, you know, the new coach isn't going to lie, and he's going to run them off. And before you know it, you've had roster depletion. And if you don't sign guys to replace them, number one, your numbers go down. And number two, if you don't replace them with a quality player, your team goes down. And that's what's happened here. And whoever Hunter hires, and I've got a lot of confidence in Hunter. And some of that is based on the Musselman hire. But whoever they hire, that's a huge challenge. That's a huge challenge. And it's not about, you know, style and scheme and all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. And numbers of players and recruiting and filling your roster and making sure you've got guys who can give you a chance. I mean, it sounds simple to talk about, but it's really, really hard to do. And if you don't put a guy in there and leave him in there, I'm not saying that, you know, Chad should have been kept. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you don't put a guy in there, if you don't get the right guy and leave him in there for a while, we're just going to keep doing this. I mean, we're just going to keep doing it. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's, you know, however long it takes, the next few weeks are really important.
You know, people are worried and wondering and calling and asking all the time about the timeline and when it's going to be. I think it's notable that, you know, you were on the trip to Atlanta, obviously. Hunter Yurecek was with the team. And I think some people got the idea that he's just, you know, locked up in his office, vetting candidates, talking to agents. The process of this is going to unfold, but it's going to be several more days or perhaps weeks, not going to be this weekend, as I think some people have in their mind.
No, I don't think it's going to be this weekend. I will tell you, his phone's working all the time. He's on that cell phone quite a bit. But, no, this is, you know, first off, we're not the only job out there. Nor are we going to be the only job out there. There are going to be jobs open up after this week. And the dominoes will start to fall. But I think we've got to understand we're not the biggest domino right now. There's some other dominoes out there that are a little bit bigger. And those dominoes are going to have to drop before everything else starts dropping. There's an agent over there in Memphis that he's a pretty good puppet master, and he'll decide where everybody's going to go here in about 2 weeks. And you know, that's just kind of how it works right now. So no, I don't think it's going to be this weekend. But I guarantee you this. I mean, you know, Hunter really, I thought, did his due diligence when he hired Musselman. And you know, I don't know a single person, myself included, who 5 days before we hired a basketball coach said, "Hey, I hear this Eric Musselman guy's really good, and I think he's the one Hunter's after." Nobody said that. It just came out of left field. And it's turned out, I think, to be okay. So, you know, it may be a situation like that. It may be a situation where he hires a guy that we've not been talking about, or he may hire a guy we've been talking about all along. But I think there's some dominoes out there that have to fall, and all that's going to begin to happen over the course of this weekend. I don't know that we hire a guy this weekend, but I do think that some dominoes will begin to fall once all the games are done on Saturday.
Chuck, it's always great to catch up with you, man. Yep. Great insight, not only on the basketball side of things, but the football side of things as well. I know we have a lot of people texting in, and how it's good to hear your voice here on the Morning Rush this morning. Have a great call on Friday. Have a great Thanksgiving as well, man, and we really appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm glad that he didn't say, you know, Thanksgiving. So,
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's always great to hear from Chuck, the voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks, where he joins on the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So we just have this final segment, and then we're off tomorrow.
Strap on the feed bag.
What's that mean?
Oh, God almighty.
strap on the feed bag. Yeah.
It's like a horse. They have a bag.
See,
you put in
these stupid comments about
just put my turkey and dressing right in
there.
That's
like a common phrase. Yeah. Oh, strap on the old feed bag.
You don't have to be a hunter to know.
I've heard that to go into the trough.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah. The old feed bag. The trough might be the way. Because listen, as important as it is for the food side of things for Thanksgiving, it is equally as important to have a nap on Thanksgiving.
And then a turkey sandwich.
Mm-hmm. So you are all about that.
The leftovers are better than the meal.
I like the turkey once it's been dried a little bit in the refrigerator for a few days, you know?
Or a few hours. Make you a leftover turkey sandwich, piece of Swiss cheese on there, heavy on the mayo. Man, what are you talking about? That's better than the meal itself.
I can't remember the last time I've had a sandwich.
Because you're off bread?
Yeah, I'm off bread.
Yeah.
So I can't really relate to that whole turkey sandwich thing.
Although you don't want me to bring you one?
You wouldn't bring me one anyway.
I'll bring you a turkey sandwich, but you won't eat it.
A turkey sandwich with no bread.
That's not a turkey sandwich.
Wrap it in lettuce. It could be a lettuce wrap.
God almighty.
Yeah. So what?
Where's the guy that,
I don't even know this
that
guy
when
anymore.
I hired this man, we sat and we discussed this job over cheeseburgers at the Ohio Club in Hot Springs. What happened to that guy?
I saw you and I'm like, I don't want to end up like that guy.
It's a good point. It's a very valid point.
No, I'm... Listen, you know, it's just you try to be healthy and you get on a kick and it's just, I got back into it, Tommy.
Diet starts Monday.
Yeah, after Thanksgiving. So, but no, Tommy, it doesn't mean I can't still appreciate good food.
Well, and a good turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
Leftovers are outstanding. Yeah. You know?
No, they are. They are. So on the turkey sandwich, though, you said mayo?
Oh, yeah. Mayonnaise, turkey, Swiss cheese. That's all you need.
I feel like gravy on it would be pretty good.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, put a little leftover dressing or stuffing on there. That's pretty good, too.
Mm. Man. See, now this is killing me because it's making me hungry. Yeah. Even though I know we have food to eat today.
Yep. I'm excited about it.
Big office luncheon here.
At the Morning Rush office.
Big dip contest coming up.
John switched it up, though. He did not bring in his famous father's salsa
recipe. It's a little different. I had to call an audible at the last second. I saw a blitz coming.
Did you
call
make
an audible.
That salsa and then mix it with what you did?
Well, I guess we'll have to see, Matty T.
What did you make?
It's a mixture of guacamole, or avocado, I should say, more so. It's not exactly guac, but avocado and salsa.
So I don't have to worry about you winning then. All right.
You know, like avocados?
Oh, I love avocados. It's one of my favorite things. I someday want to live somewhere where I can have my own avocado tree.
So why are you saying that I'm not going to win?
Well, I'm not worried.
What
about you? You are Arkansas and I am LSU in this equation. I'm not worried. You haven't won a dip contest in many, many years.
So what did
the one year? Yeah, what do you bring? Yeah, tons of fun. Let us know. Over here bragging.
What a cocky laugh he's got.
Yeah, I know. Because he's boss, and so he knows that he can always step in and get the final vote.
Oh, well, and you're going to find out. Might be buffalo chicken dip.
I don't know. I'd be down for some of
that. I mean, I wouldn't mind losing just because that sounds so good.
Yeah. We'll all find out together.
I don't know if I can wait till 11:45.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do that.
Yeah.
How we're going to make that work.
Might need to start early.
Like a little test.
Yeah, you know, just go through and make sure
everything's safe. You know,
yeah, got to make sure.
Kind of like when you're carving. That's always the best part. When you're carving the turkey, you're in there in the kitchen, you're trying so hard to get it right, and everybody's coming by and grabbing a little nibble. Need to make sure it's not poisonous. That piece looks bad. Let me try it. You know. Y'all do that at your house, too? I think that's universal.
Oh, yeah.
If someone's carving the turkey, everybody's in there picking a little piece off.
Yeah. Doug in Mountain Home says, I've been eating this way for a while now, where he dips the turkey in mayo and eats pickles with it.
I like all of that.
Do you do anything special with any special mayo?
Nope.
No Miracle Whip?
Got to be the real thing.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you. Hacker and Harrison says, the best is when you have leftover prime rib and then you turn into Philly cheesesteaks the next day.
Well, ahoy polloi.
I've never heard
We're just little old radio men down here. We don't know anything about prime rib.
Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't know nothing about that life. JT Knott Spring says, turkey and ham with mayo and Swiss around 8 p.m. on a Thursday is amazing.
I was thinking about halftime of the Cowboys game, but whatever.
You're going to watch that?
Well, yeah, you got to watch football. What else are you going to do?
That's true. The Cowboys, though? Doesn't the NFL Network
it's not like you got this big variety.
Well, this because the Lions always play, the Cowboys always play, and then they always have like a Thursday night game on the NFL Network.
Well, it's going to be Saints Falcons. So
yeah, okay. I mean, I'll probably watch it while I'm asleep.
All right. And then in the Egg Bowl too.
Oh yeah, that's there on there. Man.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Speaking of Egg Bowls, you guys like deviled eggs?
Love them.
I love deviled
eggs. I don't like deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs are good.
I love Ross here on YouTube.
Like, I need to see if that. I don't think that's on the menu for this thing. Yeah, I got to have someone make some of those.
Ross said a pumpkin pie with whipped topping is good. Wow, breaking some new ground there, Ross. Don't get too crazy.
Mike in Fort Smith says, Tommy, have you tried Duke's Mayo?
Yes, very good.
What is that?
It's what he said, too.
Good, very rich good. Flavor.
Yeah, I guess it's just because I've always been a Hellman's man myself.
Yeah. But I like the ones that come in the squeeze bottle. It just makes life a little easier.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to dirty up a knife. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But see, my dad, like, is, I guess, old, because he, I think everyone's old.
You think everything and everybody is old.
Like, he still buys, like, the gallon of, like, Hellman's and uses a spatula, like one of those rubber spatulas.
Man, after my own heart.
My goodness, loads it up with pepper. And, I mean, it is, like, when he puts it on a burger, I mean, it slaps on there and looks like he's, like, putting icing on a cake.
Nice.
Just incredible. Nice. So, got to give him credit for that. B in Clarksville says, turkey, cranberry, Jell-O, stuffing between two pieces of sourdough. It's his favorite.
Are y'all cranberry men or not? You like the cranberry sauce?
Take it or leave it.
I do like it, but I prefer real cranberry. You know, not the, like we said, you know,
not the canned
Jell-O
stuff.
Dog food stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I've never understood.
And I'm fine with either way.
Which I don't hate. I'll still eat it.
Yeah.
It's not as...
It's like jelly. It's like putting grape jelly on a biscuit. It goes... It just... You can blend and massage that into everything on your plate, and it tastes... It just makes everything taste
better. And honestly, that's pretty much what I do. I just blend everything on my plate.
Right. Which is fair. But I guess... Okay, so since we just have a few minutes here, let's get into some controversial topics and all this stuff. We have a visitor. Oh, what is going on here? Hold on a second.
Oh, hey.
Hold on a second here. What is this? Martha Harp's Rolls?
Wow.
Hey, come up to the microphone. Hey. Wait, introduce yourself, please.
Well, I'm Imelda Place. I'm the bakery deli manager at Harp's on 74th Street.
Oh, well, very good to have you here.
Well, good, too.
Yeah, we were talking
Fresh
about Martha.
Today.
We were just talking about Martha Harp Rolls.
This is incredible.
My merchandiser said, take care of these guys.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving,
Thank
John.
You. It's already started early. Well,
it truly is a Thanksgiving miracle.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you so much. This man, forget what I was going to talk about. Yeah, hey, thank you so much for the rolls.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my diet's going out the door because I'm going to eat these today.
You're back on the bread train.
I'm back on the bread train today. Wow, that is awesome. What a great way to end the show. That was amazing. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Harps, for all that.
Love some Harps.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was going to ask the question of what's the Thanksgiving food that we hate the most, just to hear it end the show.
Hate the most?
Yeah, like one that we just don't even touch if it's on the thing.
I don't think there is one.
I don't, yeah.
Really?
You like the green bean casserole?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
We'll have some of that.
Which crispy onions on top?
Yeah, just because we have it with cream of mushroom, which is, again, funny because I don't like mushroom. I like it. But
the broccoli rice casserole, my mom makes good broccoli rice casserole.
Oh, yeah. Sweet potatoes?
Absolutely.
And yams.
And yams.
Or yams.
My Frammy is what we call her. Yeah. Just stick with me. She makes cheesy potatoes that are pretty fantastic that are going along with it, too. And homemade bread.
Oh. The dressing. Oh, the dressing.
This is great. I love this show.
Yeah.
Man, see, now it's just, I don't even know if I want to wait 24 hours.
I want to get into one of these packages of Martha Harp rolls.
I'm telling you, like, they smell good. And we haven't even heated them up yet.
Oh.
And given the heating instructions, this is bad. But
I don't think they need to be heated.
They're overflowing out of the trays.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Do we have butter here at the station?
I'm going to go buy some.
Yeah,
right
buy
now.
Some butter. What else we got to put on the roll? Just butter?
Butter?
I just do cranberry sauce now.
Yeah.
I'll stick with butter. Wow, what a great way to end the show. Thank you so much to Harps for hooking us up with some Harps rolls. I'm going to be fantastic.
I always need some of that chicken they got down there to go with it.
Seriously, to go with it all. Appreciate everybody listening into the Morning Rush today. For Tommy Kraft and Maddie T, I am John Neighbor. Same sports show, same sports channel. On Friday, have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We will see you then.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.